Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Mobile Radio Carnival. I'm your host, John Renaud. We have a co-host this time, Nancy Guitar. Nancy interviews me, I interview Nancy, and here we go.
A sense of community where you're free. Rolling through the mountains, rolling through the valley, rolling through paradise with me.
Hello, everyone. My name's Nancy, and I'm the host of Small Talk with Nancy Guitar.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Renaud, and I'm speaking to Nancy today. I am a radio guy as well as a musician and sometime actor.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a little bit of everything going on.
A little bit of everything. That's nice. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to interview each other at the same time.
We're going to give it a shot. I think we'll end up interjecting on each other the whole time.
So
your turn.
No, I was just going to say, how about you start?
Well, I'm very curious if that's your real last name. And if not, where did you come up with that name?
It's my real last name.
Honest to God, that is such a unique scenario.
I know.
You're definitely one of a kind then.
Well, there's others in the family, so I'm not.
That's true. Is it a name that people would pick on you for, or was it a name that people like Renaud? I got picked on with that name, if you can believe it, which would be kind of a tough one to pick on people.
Yeah.
But so did you get picked on with your last name?
Well, yeah, sometimes I'd walk down the street and where I grew up, and people would go kerplunk kerplunk, or call me Nancy Piano.
There you go.
My oldest brother, his nickname is Banjo. But
that's are you serious?
So yeah, serious.
His banjo guitar, that's hysterical. Yeah.
Only we call him Bunny. So,
yeah, the bee stuck no matter what.
Yeah. Now, here's the curious thing. We're 12 children, and we were 12.
Wow.
Okay. And only three of us, everybody else in the family has guitar with a D on the end.
Yeah.
On their birth certificates. But myself and two other sisters don't have the D. We don't know why.
Interesting. Is that, are you in Canada? Do I have that right?
Yes, I'm in Chilliwack, BC. Where are you located?
I'm in LA right now, but I'm originally from Detroit, so I'm kind of a sister city to Windsor.
Yeah.
We used to go over to Canada quite a bit, actually, as younger people. So
very nice. And I used to go to the US quite a bit.
Yeah. It was always back in the day in particular, it seemed like a really fair, easy exchange because it was before passports.
It was, yeah. So you have all of these different things going on in your life.
Yeah.
What did you start with?
I guess technically I started singing before anything else because my mom had me in the church choir.
Okay.
And then I remember distinctly being part of the choir in fifth grade, I think fourth, fifth, and sixth grade at the elementary schools. Back then they believed a lot in the music and arts programs. And I remember my favorite thing to do was to, I don't know why, but I wanted to invent my own harmonies. And so, which was fun for me, but the lady who would be the head of the class didn't really particularly like it. And so I would always find these harmonies, and they always worked. I don't know why. It was just a curious thing that I did. And then she'd get all upset and go, okay, who's singing the wrong part? And I just never said anything because I felt a little embarrassed that I was causing her a problem, but I sure did like to do it at the same time. So that's, I started with singing, and then in high school, I stumbled into an acting class, and I've kind of been hit and miss with all of it throughout my life. I also ended up going to a broadcast school, and I did graduate technical school as a voice broadcaster.
So with those all those three things, do you have a favorite?
Whichever one I'm doing at the time.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. I just, when I'm on set in particular, I really enjoy that as an actor. When I'm on stage as an actor, I really appreciate that. There's something lovely about both of those types of performances. Music's great. Again, either in the studio, I do a lot of work with Jorg, as I think you're aware of.
Yes.
And so we even do our music via just the internet. Like I'll do my bit here at my little studio, and then I'll send it to him and vice versa. And so I enjoy all of it, to be honest with you.
Nice. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have any questions for me?
I do, actually. So as a Canadian, so you, what part do you come down to when you cross over to America? Where typically, is there one place you go, or do you go to multiple places?
Well, I don't go over so much now. Like when I lived in Quebec, we used to go across to Champlain, New York State.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Then I moved to Ontario, and then my ex and I, we had a vacation home in Florida. So here we would go over to Washington, the state of Washington.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so you ended up on kind of like two extreme different parts of Canada.
I was actually born in New Brunswick. So yeah.
Oh, wow. You've done the whole travel as far as that goes, sure. Then.
Yeah.
And I guess I've mirrored you a little bit. I've gone from Detroit to LA. So.
Right. And then, of course, one thing with the US, right? You can go through a lot of states a lot quicker than we can here.
Yeah.
Country being so much bigger, right?
Well, the thing, we took some vacations in through Michigan up into the northern part of Ontario, mm-hmm. and the thing I can't ever forget was how amazing the mountains became and how rugged the terrain became at that point. Northern Michigan, the UP, is a little bit mountainous and all of that, but man, when we got into Canada, it was like, wow, this is just rugged beyond belief. Is that kind of where you're at? Is it you're in a city, but it's rugged around it?
Yeah, it's kind of a farming community. I mean, Chilliwack itself is built up, but there's farms all around us. And I can look to the north and see the hills. I once lived up in those hills when my husband was alive. We lived up there for a while. It's kind of both here. Like we've got the best of both worlds, I think, you know?
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. It's a nice, very nice community. People are just becoming more inclusive, which is something I think is wonderful.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's one of the things when I moved to LA, Detroit's a somewhat diverse city, but LA is so diverse and there's a lot, so much wonderful stuff that comes from there. There's some, I think, bad stuff that comes from it as well, but that's in a small, small percentage. Overall, personally, I so enjoy, you know, all the different culture and all the different people. And it's a beautiful thing, really.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me about your radio show.
Pluto Radio. Pluto Radio is basically something that I put together with a couple other people back in the day. I guess 2009, I put it together. And I was thinking about that because I figured that you would ask about it. and one of the stories that I think is interesting about Pluto Radio is I wasn't the first, I don't think, to go on and do radio online, but I certainly was well within the first wave of people doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to find music. And so I'd find it on different sites online, and I would email the artist and I'd say, hey, you know, I'm doing this new thing. It's Pluto Radio. We really like your music for the station. Can we please use your music? And, so many of the guys would be like, hey, F off. You can't steal our music. And I'm thinking now, first off, I could already steal their music if I wanted to. I certainly had the technology to take it and put it online. Right. So they're not even understanding that I'm taking the courtesy to get permission from them. And it'd be like, okay, you know, I got it. And I was shocked at first. I thought I was doing people favors. And so they're jumping on me. And I was like, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. 2 years later, the same people that had basically accused, you know, got all bent out of shape about this were like, hey, will you please put our music on, blah, blah, blah. So it was one of these things that was so interesting because I was just at the edge of the curve. And I understood it, like, as a musician myself, I didn't want people just taking my music and doing something. But the industry flipped in such a strange way in that couple of years. So I just thought, you know, that's one of the things, looking back, I get a kick out of for some reason. So Pluto Radio, though, it has gone on from that, and we play basically, I started off with playing the music that deserves to be heard, and it was basically rock, and it was rock and roll that had anything to do with a guitar, essentially. We do play, like, progressive music that's predominantly keyboards, but most of the music is guitar rock. It can be alternative, it can be blues, it can be progressive, it can be anything, it can be folk. And so the idea is, the reason I picked Pluto was because it has an eccentric orbit. So it's always a different orbit. And I felt that that's what I could do with the music. And we get any given day 15 to 300 listeners.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been good that way. We have some things in the works, which I'm hoping to pull this up to about 500 listeners a day is what really my goal is.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of amazing, really. It's a project that I took on. Thank God I have a bunch of people that helped me do it. We never, take money from artists for any reason. It's basically, I had this gig. I was videotaping a buddy of mine doing shows in LA, and he showed up, and he was a rap guy. And the first band was a lady who sang French songs, and it was a punk band, and it was a rock band, and then it was a rapper. And I thought, wow, all this stuff might be able to meld. You know, that's what gave me the idea for it. And essentially all of that doesn't meld. So I drew the line at guitar, bass, rock, whatever. So essentially that's what Pluto Radio is. And you can find it at plutoradio.com.
All right. Well, yeah. I'll make sure I include that link when I do the rendering afterwards.
Exactly. So now I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw your interview with Jorg, you had mentioned you like to do this. You like doing podcasts. But you do, oh, sorry, the dog's letting everyone know. My studio is being invaded with some food. So anyway. So when you were interviewing Jorg, you mentioned you do it because you really like to do it. What specifically do you enjoy about doing podcasts? Yeah, you didn't think you were gonna get off easy, did you?
No, it's just that everybody has a story. You know, every single person has a story. Some people say, though, to me, like, oh, my life's boring. No, it's not. Not to me, because your life is different from mine.
Right.
What I like is finding out how they got to do what they're doing, and the fact, and that anybody will take the time to talk to me to share their story. To me, that's like magic, you know?
Yeah.
I just love it so much. And the fact that I now have made so many friends doing interviews, whether they're in person or on Zoom, it's like, oh, that is so awesome.
You know what I find interesting when I scroll through, like, you have a lot of videos up.
Yes.
That takes some dedication. You're dedicated to doing this. And then I understand too, when I went through it, I go, oh, that's so cool. Small talk, because you don't usually run over you go like 15 to 30 minutes with people. You keep it brief, and that's kind of your thing. And I usually go about an hour.
Okay.
That's why I'm talking so much. I'm used to going on and on and on. But I think it's really fascinating, because the way you do it, it is very like, hey, I'm going to give you your shot. I'm going to give you your 15 minutes kind of thing. I don't think you look at it exactly like that, but I think that's really cool. Because everyone else is so worried about, like, Joe Rogan does 4 hours and it's got to be intense and all of that stuff. And it's just, and some of the subjects that you cover are amazing. So I kind of guessed that's why you liked it, but I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I like the variety. Well, you know, the difference between this and music is, like, I have that ring in my ears, which bothers me mostly.
Tinnitus.
So I listen to music all night long. And the difference with music, you can just keep playing music and listen to these songs, well, even over and over again. Listening to somebody talk for too long can get a little, depending on the subject matter, you know, it can get a little hard. But what I do is, you may realize that too, I invite guests back. If their story, I think they have more to say, like, come on back on. And some been on like 4 or 5 times, which I think is so tremendous, right?
Well, it's strange because I kind of do the same thing with my podcast. I'm certainly not, I don't do as many as you do, but I tend to interview people that I'm just curious about. And then I do like to invite them back for the same reason, where I think there's two things that happen. You get to show someone's growth.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel like maybe they didn't represent themselves correctly the last time, they can kind of fix that if they want. And it just allows people to kind of see, like, hey, we're just friends hanging out. It has more of that feel to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I saw yours, I thought, oh my gosh, she does it a lot of the same things that I do. So I found that very fascinating. So when you were interviewing Jorg, you got to tell me, was he a tough interview or was he a good interview?
He's a good interview.
Like
sometimes after an interview, somebody will say, oh, I spoke too much. And I always say, look, if I'm speaking too much, then it's not a good interview. the guest is the one that's got to, that should be able to talk as much as they want to talk and give a message out. If I'm interrupting them all the time, which I sometimes do, but you know, then I apologize. I want to hear them, and I want other people to hear their story, you know?
Yeah. I did notice that that's one of the things, being from Detroit and having spent time in Canada, you tend to be a little more polite than I am. When I interrupt you, I'm just going to interrupt you and assume that it's okay. I noticed we've done it already about four times where you're like, oh, I'm sorry, you go ahead and speak. It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
I was telling my wife, I said, yeah, I can see she's Canadian for sure, which I don't, there's nothing bad about it. It's just especially in LA where everyone's so self-involved. It's like, we're all talking on top of each other and you're politely, you know, folding your hands going, no, that's okay. You talk first, you know, which is great.
Oh, well, you have, but you know, the funny thing about it is that in my family, because we were so many, we were always talking.
Yeah, that's a big family. Yeah. So you know how to do it. So you know what I mean? You know how to brawl it out. Hey, it's my food. Yeah. We had a thing called the Lazy Susan. I don't know if you know what it is. And so we didn't have such a big family, but I had two older brothers and my younger sister wasn't much of a challenge, but it would be a challenge. Like the thing gets spinning. It's like, hey, where's my turn? It's like, earn it, you know?
So what's the name of your podcast?
It's the Mobile Radio Carnival. And originally, and I haven't gotten there yet because I've just had so many things going on, but I try to do at least one every 4 months. Okay. What I originally thought of was I wanted to get a Pluto van. And I wanted to actually take it on the road and interview people all over the place.
Oh.
Yeah. But I haven't gotten to that yet. I have so many other things that in my head, it's like, oh, I'll do that. And then I can relate to this thing this way. So I called it the Mobile Radio Carnival because it's going to one day be a mobile radio carnival. And the carnival aspect comes from just the carnival of people that I'd hoped to. So it really is aligned with your thinking on just a multitude of interesting folks, because I, like you, feel that these people have so many people have interesting lives, and we all kind of overlook them.
Yeah.
Like my mechanic. I'd love to interview my mechanic. He's an Armenian fellow. He came over when he was very young. He's now very old. And just his idea of like coming to LA and experience all those years of LA and compacting it into about an hour is the length I go. Mm. I would find that fascinating. And I don't know why other people wouldn't. I mean, I assume that they would, you know, so. I mean, I know I'm not Joe Rogan smoking a bunch of weed and having my buddies drink whiskey with me and talking about cracking heads and, you know, I mean, I get it. I watch his show. I love his show. He's very good at what he does. But, you know, I think that may be, a little easier than just going, hey, I have this nice lady on my podcast today. And we're going to talk about, you know, what the differences between Canada and the U.S. are. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be like, what are you talking about? Where's the blood in that?
Yeah. Like you, I would love to, you know, to travel and do interviews in person. Like I have a friend who lives in Michigan. Him and his wife, his name is Daniel Stowen, and he's been on the show a number of times. He's a retired vet. He lost his children, really,
that's terrible.
And to get out of that, he does these fundraisers, and 100% of the money he raises goes to children for whatever reason, you know? And it's like people like him, he thinks what I do is special. And I'm thinking what he does is special,
exactly.
You know? It's like,
exactly.
To meet you in person would be so tremendous, you know? And there's others like, you know, Borg, I forgot what I was saying. But anyway,
I get it.
There's other people like that, you know, that I would really like to do. But currently, pre-COVID, I had a team that I worked with. You know, we had a 3-camera setup. Everything was in person.
Yeah.
And even if I wanted to go on location, now I'm all by myself. So it's like, and I don't drive anymore. So, you know, I'm limited, right? I'd have to bum a ride. Hey.
Well, you do very well. You have a lot of videos up. So that's commendable.
Thank you. Well, I air them 3 days a week.
Yeah.
I had to cut back because I was doing 5 days a week. It's
like that would be tough. That's that's like a real job, you know? I mean, that's not playing around.
And I don't get paid. So there you go. Right. But yeah. It's fun, right? It really is interesting.
It's very enjoyable. And I started off with video as well, because I shoot video, and I found it just to be too difficult. You know, you need a team, to your point, to really make that happen, where you have someone who's making sure their hair is right and all of that, all those details that do matter to some degree. And it's like, right now, with my podcast, I just do audio. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. I don't necessarily worry about it anymore. Yeah. And because I'm a radio, I started as a radio guy, to me, it's actually in a strange way, more natural for me.
Right. You know, when I started this, I hadn't even heard of the term podcast.
Yeah.
It was just an interview show, you know, and then the world changed. It's like, well, I have to change with it, I guess, right?
Do you feel like if the big changes, because there's been obviously a lot of changes in our lifetime, do you feel like the changes are more severe because you're in a more rural area? Like all of a sudden you go to a city and you're like, geez, what happened? Or is it because of telecommunications, basically you're still attuned to it just like anyone else?
That's a good question. You know, well, I don't get out of Chilliwack all that much unless I'm going somewhere with my sisters, basically.
Right.
But I live, you know, I've always, like, when I lived in Ontario, it wasn't so isolated.
Right.
It's a little bit bigger city. So I've gone from country to city to more country again, you know,
right.
So that doesn't bother me. But the biggest change is like being able to do Zoom, for instance. And
yeah.
What I love about that is the fact that I can speak to anybody no matter where they are in the world.
It's pretty cool.
Yes, it's just to open that whole world, right?
Yeah. And
I love that more than anything, you know?
Yeah. But think about this, right? When and I'm being a bit presumptuous, I'm guessing at ages, right? When you and I were young, how did we get money to the bank or out of the bank compared to today?
Yeah.
Right. That's a huge change. Like we had to travel and it was more difficult to do. Now you just take a picture of the check and basically you don't even have to go to the bank I notice my son maybe doesn't understand. He can be very impatient in part. And that's no knock on him. He's a great kid, but when he's got to wait for a friend, for example, but he doesn't have to be as impatient as you and I were because he can go on a phone and go, "Hey Sam, where are you?" Whereas you and I were like, oh, okay, Larry's late again. I guess I'll try to call him, but he's probably already left his house. So I'll just talk to his mom and he's left 15 minutes ago, John. You know, it's a whole different world in that regard.
And you see people all the time walking down the street, holding their cell phone and talking on their cell phone. And you look around like at first I would look, are they talking to me?
Exactly.
Right.
Or the first time you saw someone in a supermarket talking to an earpiece that you didn't see. You're like, oh my God, that dude's really going crazy. So there's all kinds of stuff that we forget about that has certainly changed in our lifetime.
Yeah. And I'm a little bit older than you.
Maybe.
Oh, definitely. Next week, I'm having a party. I'm throwing a party for myself.
Right.
A bunch of guests because I'm going to be 75.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. You look very healthy and very vigorous. So that's good.
Well, I tell people this all the time. The best way to stay young is act immature.
I believe that. And also like talk to young people and be around them and not be annoyed by them. You know what I mean? To enjoy them.
That's right. Most of my friends are younger than me. Yeah. But I get together with my two older sisters. They're the ones that live here around me. And when we get together, we laugh so much, you know, and I think that's a really good, healthy thing to do because no matter what crap happens in our lives, most of us have experienced some kind or other.
I would think so.
Yeah, laughter is so healing. That and of course a little chocolate wouldn't hurt. Yeah. That's true.
Is it dark chocolate? See, I'm constantly interviewing you. Is it dark chocolate or is it white chocolate?
No, not dark chocolate, not white chocolate.
Okay. Milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate is my favorite.
There you go.
Throw in some nuts and some caramel and OMG.
Nice.
So you talked about your son. You have more than one child or just the one?
No, just my boy, Julian. He's an amazing guy. He actually, I'm not sure how he ended up being musically inclined. And he also started producing music on computers because it's so easy. So he ventured through rap and the different types of music.
Nice.
And he actually has, he and Jorg primarily are the people who engineer my music. So it's kind of cool. I'll get Julian a song And, you know, I'll say, hey, give me a time frame on when it'll be done so I can figure out how to promote it. And then, so he'll do that. And then oftentimes I get the luxury and the beauty of working with Jorg on music. In fact, that's how I met him, was through Pluto Radio. He submitted some music and he was just so amazing in all these genres of music. And I was like, man, this guy's so good. I wonder if he'll help me with a song. So I sent him like a rough of a song, and he sent back his idea of the song, but it was really a completely different thing. And so I had to rewrite what I did, because I was like, damn, this is really good. This is better than the song I sent over. Yeah. I got an idea to rewrite it, and I did. Rewrote my part. And so it became this the first collaboration between the two of us. I sent it back. He was cool with it. And then he was okay with Julian doing the sound mix. Julian did the sound mix on it. And that's kind of what started our relationship. And he's an amazing, amazing guy. Yeah. I mean, he's a great producer. He's a great guitar player. He's a great human on the planet, basically, too. He does great shows for me. He did this thing called The Broadcastle. He talked to you about it, where he invented this character that was based on Pluto, and he did this whole sci-fi thing, and it was very, very clever. And he's like, hey, will you put some voice, will you say these lines so I can put them in? I'm like, sure, I'll say the lines. And so he created this whole like audio thing, you know, and he's really just a super talented guy. It's always frustrating for me being left out of the mainstream. And it's, I look at it and I go, man, this guy is so talented. And it's, how do you get the mainstream to see all of the things he can offer? And he's got his record company, which I would say proudly represents me.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. You see how I did that? His record company, MX Pro Records, has this catalog of just amazing musicians, because that's what he relates to. That's him. And he hears these guys and he knows the potential. And I believe he thinks the same thing. He's like, how do I just get mainstream thinkers to see there's this whole, and I guess that's what you're talking about. And I'm talking about interviewing people. Like, there's so much more out there than, I'm not saying take away from those who have, but there's room for a little bit more of stacking in interesting people around it. You know,
there's, I don't know, that's for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, like there's somebody local that does a podcast, and I don't think it's a competition. He does different than I do. His interviews are more in depth, you know, right? But I just think there's room for everybody. Be generous with your space or your genre.
I think so too. And I think that the way things have been corporatized inadvertently just shuts people out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm not a fan of contemporary corporate models. I mean, back in the day, you know, there were ideas of like free trade and you couldn't monopolize things and all of that. And because I was raised with it, that's my preference, I think. But I do think it unintentionally shuts out a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're going to run out of time soon, but just well, I want to switch the topic totally.
Sure, of course.
Like I do this, and I've done some acting. I love being on stage.
Nice.
I've done improv and stuff, but I have social anxiety, so I'm not good on the social scene. How about you? What are you like socially?
I'm a mixed bag. I'm a little bit introverted. It might shock you.
No.
Artistically, I think that's why I started expressing myself artistically, because I think I was perceived as an outgoing person, but I had a lot of internal things that didn't match that, and in that way I was introverted. I didn't feel comfortable like letting the world know who I was, because I was an athlete. I was a pretty good athlete, and so you get a lot of attention from that, and so I think it was easier for me just to let that be, and I could take that attention, but it wasn't really all that I was, obviously. And so in that, I took an acting class, or I stumbled into one, and I was like, you know, I like this, because I can be, let a part of me out without someone knowing it's me, if that makes sense. So I do think I'm a bit more of an introvert than people would think. And with that said, socially, I think I took a bunch of improv classes in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And it put me over being socially awkward, because all I did was I would use improv techniques to interact with people. And so, you know, the whole yes and thing and all of that, where it's just, I had a friend, we were both a little shy about just being forward with girls and being like, hey, how are you? I'm John. I'd like to meet you. That was kind of difficult for both of us. Mm-hmm. And we'd go out for a club and he'd go, oh, I think that girl's kind of cute, and I'd like to get to know her. And I'd go, I'll go talk to her for you. He's like, really? And I go, yeah, because I had taken these improv classes, so I turned it into an improv. And then I could fit it to me. And so I kind of overcame any kind of social awkwardness with that. When I do performances, though, I have high anxiety.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm I consider myself an introverted extrovert.
Yeah. I guess that, yeah.
I got the warning. I got the warning that we're running out of time. I don't want us to shut off before we can actually say goodbye. So
yeah,
just hold on, because now I will have to end it. The audience, well, yeah,
gosh, I think I overcapitalized. I think I was the guy who talked too much.
No problem, I don't mind at all.
That's my social anxiety coming out.
No, we'll have to do another, because I think
absolutely.
So to the audience, you've been listening to John Renaud, and he does a number of things. He's going to share, he's going to send me his link, so I'm going to post them. So
it's John Renaud at johnrenaud.com is the easiest way to find me.
Nice and simple. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for watching the show. I hope you subscribe, because that's so cool when you do that. Take care, everybody, and peace out.
Thank you.
A sense of community till the wax a place to be. A sense of community where you're free. Rolling through the mountains, rolling through the valley, rolling through paradise with me. It's multicultural, you're sure to see it all. Chilliwack's